welcome to PCMC. That means Pop Culture Man Children. Hey, I don't like a podcast with the word man in it. That sounds pretty toxic. Hey, listen, that's not what it is. It's just we were trying to highlight that we're adults that like childish shit sometimes. This is a non-toxic safe space. We're so sorry. We can't change the name at this point. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by brother of mine, Anthony Bongiorno.
Hi, everyone.
Anthony, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. It's December.
It sure is. It got dark today at 12 p.m.
Yes, it was fantastic.
we're really in the thick of a real syrupy, viscous depression.
Right, right. So Pop Culture Man Children, this is a podcast about movies, TV, media, sometimes video games, a lot of movie trailers, what's going on, buzz, buzz, buzz. And
and apologizing for the title.
And apologizing for the title. This is a fully episode. Fully episodes are comprised of three segments. In the first segment, we talk pop culture news and look at new trailers. In the second segment, we do chill sesh. That's just more of a free flowing, what are you watching, what are you reading, kind of the kind of conversations you have with your friends at brunch. And then my obsession is kind of like, what is the thing that you're currently loving? What's the thing that you're currently like nerding out on? Mm-hmm. So do you want to go to the news?
Let's head over there to the news desk.
All right. So let's talk about Acme versus Coyote.
What's that?
Acme versus Coyote is a feature film made by Warner Brothers that is an adaptation of the Roadrunner cartoons. Mm-hmm. And much in the vein of Batgirl, they made it and said, we're not going to put it out.
They made it and shelved it.
And after they shelved it, the composer put out videos of the score and like other things came out. And people sort of get the idea like, oh, like they finally did it. Like after all the Space Jams and the bullshit, they found a way to actually do a feature length film that's really in the spirit of Looney Tunes. It's just a movie about
the Roadrunner. So why did they shelve it?
I'm not sure. I'm not a business person, and I don't understand it very much. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand is by shelving it, they get some sort of tax break. Like, they don't get it all. They don't get all the money back, but they get some money back. And I guess if they feel like this thing's going to be a failure, it's better for them to just get some chunk of money back
now. So they're not satisfied with it, ultimately. Right.
But a lot of people, unlike Batgirl, where there were problems that people were talking about, most of the people involved in the movie were shocked. They were like, this isn't a bad movie at all.
That's interesting. But is it like CG? Like, is it like, what kind of animation is it?
I'm not sure. But anyway, the button on it is going to come out now.
Oh, wow.
The people spoke and people on Twitter went wild for it. And people, performers in the movie were like, this is bullshit.
Who's in the cast? Chris Pratt.
No, it's not Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt as Coyote and the Roadrunner.
But what's funny is, wait, is it have an IMDb yet?
And it's called Acme vs. Coyote?
Yeah, or Coyote vs. Acme, I'm not sure. Coyote vs. Acme. Not Chris Pratt. Who's your second guess?
Oh, boy.
John Cena.
That would not have been my second guess.
That would not have been your second guess?
For Coyote?
Of a person you just throw into movies?
Well, yeah, but okay. Is it going to be released in theaters?
I don't know. No, actually, Warner Brothers basically said they're still not putting it out, but they said we're not tanking it. Like, the producers can shop it around and see if other people want to release it.
Interesting.
So it might come out at Netflix or whatever. I'm sure it's not the best movie ever. But
story by James Gunn.
He's good.
Starring John Cena, Will Forte.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like the idea of a Roadrunner movie.
Hmm.
If it's just like bits, that's fun.
Huh. And Lana Condor, who's that?
I have no idea. This I don't is know.
Interesting.
Is this something young people like? The story set in Acme Warehouse, the manufacturer of anything and everything used by the Looney Tunes characters.
They're the weapons maker, yes.
After the pro- the products made by Acme Corporation backfire on Wile E. Coyote in his pursuit of Roadrunner. He hires an equally unlucky human attorney to sue the company. When Wile E. Coyote's lawyer finds out this former law firm intimidating boss is Acme CEO, he teams up with Wile E. Coyote to win the court case against him. I'm wrong. It's live action.
What? So it's live. Obviously, they're CG.
Yes, of course. Well, the cartoon characters are CG. I'm seeing images. Here's
the image. That can't be real.
It reminds me of I know it's possible that it made a. I don't know, but usually IMDb doesn't get fake like images on it.
Gosh,
it sounds like Ted 2. I'm looking at trivia. The movie was originally going to be CG live action hybrid with Steve Carell rumored as Acme. So it's not CGI.
Okay.
So it's not live action, I mean.
Huh.
I don't know. So maybe we don't know anything.
It does
about
sound
it.
Like Ted 2. There's a Ted TV show coming out.
Yes. Wild, right?
Yeah.
No one saw that one coming.
No, not I.
Yeah, so the people spoke in the movie's coming out.
Well, good for the people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not always for the people. You know what I mean? Like, I was never like a big Snyder Cut fan. But I do feel like it's some real corporate fucking shenanigans that people work hard on these movies. And then to save money, they're like, we're not going to put them out.
It just seems like this is a Warner Brothers thing.
Yes, it certainly is. It certainly is.
Who's running things over there?
Wacko, Yakko, and Dot.
Well, no wonder it's so crazy.
They have such little experience in marketing and corporate stuff.
But Dot is cute. And yeah, Yakko yaks.
God,
bring them back. Were they brought back?
They were brought back.
Why did I even say that? Of course, no one cared.
And you didn't care, did you?
And I didn't care.
You didn't care. You know what else was brought back recently? Tiny Toons. And I watched the pilot, and it wasn't terrible, but I can't get over that they made Buster and Babs brother and sister when they were a couple in the original show.
Were they a couple in the
that's
original?
Like if, yes, and that's like if they remade Superman. They're like, guess what? Lois and Superman are brother and sister now. It's hard to get over it.
I don't remember them being any romantic.
I mean, they didn't fuck on screen.
Of course
but
I don't remember any
little,
smooching or anything.
They did smooch.
Huh.
They. I think eventually.
You're sure you're not thinking of Lola Bunny, the world's sexiest bunny?
No.
Who was then rebranded as
a feminist icon.
As a feminist icon.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of Babs. But, It's it was an interesting pilot. I didn't hate it.
Okay. Who cares?
Yeah, okay.
Who's watching it?
Hey,
no one.
Who's
it for?
I don't know what anything's for, to be honest with you. Let's talk about Scream news. So the last Scream was the biggest Scream in Scream story. And then Melissa Barrera, the main star of these new movies, she tweeted something and she retweeted a bunch of stuff that was pro-Palestine and Spyglass, the company that makes the Scream movie, said were anti-Semitic. So she was fired. So that's a star gone. But then the second star is the character's sister, which is played by Jenna Ortega. So they were like, all right, we still got Jenna Ortega.
Yeah.
And then she said, I've got scheduling issues.
Well, that's an interesting one because obviously a lot of people are reading into it that she resigned in solidarity with Melissa Barrera. But
that's not it.
There are reports that she was trying to get out of that contract even before this. That like she just didn't want to be in any more Scream movies because now she's a pretty big star on her own.
Also, I heard that they weren't paying her what she wanted.
Well, you know what?
That's and what she they probably wanted Nev. A lot more than she. Right, and so yeah, they already
serves them
up.
Right. And now I heard they want Nev and Patrick Dempsey back.
Right, right. Oh, let me tell you.
Let's talk about this for one
second.
Okay,
sure.
In Scream 4, Patrick Dempsey is not mentioned. There's some weird retconning happening.
He's not mentioned. We see her with a baby carriage. We know she's married and she has a baby carriage. So why
isn't
not
that,
make him
no,
her
that's
husband?
Five.
Yeah, that's five.
In 4.
No, she's married in 4.
She doesn't mention him by name.
No, she doesn't, but she's married in 4.
Does she say she's married in 4?
Yeah, she's
just
on a book
tour. Because
I feel
like it's like he was written out, and then they were like, oh, he's back. And then they wrote him back in.
No, he's just not involved.
Okay. So when she was being chased by a serial killer, she didn't think to stop and call her husband?
No, she didn't. So, yes, they were like, okay, you know what? Let's get Nev back. And then Nev was like, no. So now they want to reboot it.
Who wants that?
Well, exactly. But
nobody.
They're like, we made the most money on the last one. We've got to keep doing these.
No.
But I figured out how I would like it.
Okay.
Is instead of just doing the concept again, continue with the meta ethos of the series and make it a remix. Make it the same characters as Scream 1, but Billy and Stu aren't the killers. Other characters are the killers.
What?
Truly remix it. Well, like, okay, so they just put out a Scott Pilgrim show, which a lot of people are like, what the fuck is
Didn't he die?
Yeah, he dies in the first fight, and then it's totally different story from the movie and the comic.
Okay.
It's truly a remix of it. Like, do that with Scream. Have it be Sydney, Tatum, Randy, Stu, and Billy, but have, like, the killer be Randy, or have the killer be like Principal dies. Henry, or whatever. Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Like,
if they do that, it's just gonna they're going to make Sydney the killer.
Right. Well, okay, so I then heard, and I don't know how, I can't speak to the veracity of this, but leaked online were like rumors of what the version of Seven was going to be. It was going, when they wanted Nev in it,
uh-huh.
It was going to be Nev is attacked in the first scene. It's not clear whether she dies or doesn't, maybe they didn't decide, or maybe this is all false. And then it was going to the twist in this one was that, like, there was going to be killings in multiple states, so okay. It was like not in one area.
Okay.
So Nev was going to be attacked, and then the characters, the Carpenter sisters from the other movies, are going to be attacked, and then they come together, and Patrick Dempsey's in it, mm-hmm. and blah 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 blah. But that's not going to happen.
Well, the...
but you know they really fucked it up because they had. Who would have thought that Scream 5 and 6 would have been so good and that 6 would have made more money and all? Like, they did the impossible, which is they resurrected this franchise that's pretty long in the tooth.
And created new characters for the audience
that people like. People like the core four and shit. And look, obviously, Jenna Ortega is Wednesday now and she's hot shit and she wants more money. Whatever. Just fucking give it to her.
Yeah.
Then I guess they're not ready to do that.
Well...
I tell you, this series was better when it was run by Harvey Weinstein.
Wasn't everything?
I'll go on record saying that. No, he's a horrible person.
Oh, man.
I'm
happy to leave it at 6.
I would be happy to leave it at 5.
But I just know that they won't.
Yeah. It's...
Well, 6 was an improvement over 5.
I agree. Although 4 is better than either of them, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I think 6 is probably better than 4.
Hmm. I gotta watch them both back to back. No, I mean, I said this when we talked about our Scream episodes, when we talked on our Scream episodes. The more we do this, the more we're creating a vision of an insane world where, like, every fifth person is a serial killer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just a reality no one would ever want to live in.
No, yeah, it's wild.
Each one has to try to reinvent itself, too.
You're Gail Weathers, and you've been... 6 fucking times somebody tried to kill
her. She really should have died in that last one, and I don't know why they didn't just pull the trigger on it.
And she died. She
basically died. She dies,
and then there's a phone call, like, off screen. She's fine. I feel like that was a last minute tweet.
Yeah, like, she's so dead. Like, let her be dead.
And she dies like a badass.
Yeah, she dies fighting. Fucking. Yeah, whatever. Anyways,
we can't relitigate this.
No, let's not. Anyway, so our next topic at least won't. Raise anybody's cockles. So Dave Filoni is made the chief creative officer at Lucasfilm. Dave Filoni is a producer of Rebels and Clone Wars and Ahsoka, which bored me to tears, and Mandalorian. And a lot of people are super excited by this, especially people who hate Kathleen Kennedy and women. But I'm not very excited because I don't think he's all that. I don't think... people like him. Here's why some nerds like him, because Clone Wars was done by Lucas and he was like groomed by Lucas. So he's like the only connection to Lucas anymore. Who's like still carrying the flame of George's vision. Okay. So, and he was sort of the heir apparent, and given that I've seen a bunch of stuff now, I think I'd give more of the credit to Mandalorian to Jon Favreau than Dave Filoni. I mean, I don't know if you saw even a second of Ahsoka, but I could not have been more bored by a Star Wars.
I can't get into any of this extraneous Star Wars stuff.
Even The Mandalorian?
I never finished The Mandalorian.
Interesting. I like The Mandalorian. I think Andor is like the best thing ever. It's the best Star Wars thing ever. Star Wars is a serious political drama. Who knew we needed it, but we do.
I've heard that was good. I think that,
and then, but I can't explain to you how bad Ahsoka is. It's like does watching like nothing it? Happen. Oh yeah. Well, no. Here's who likes it: the people that love Clone Wars and Rebels. And by the way, I liked Rebels a lot, and I just feel like this doesn't have the spirit of Rebels. Because Hayden Christensen comes back, and now there, and you know, there's a flashback with the what's her name, America Ferrera's daughter from Barbie plays little Ahsoka. So they're recreating things from the cartoon, and oh my god, it's Hayden Christensen actually playing the character that they made better in the cartoons, and blah blah. But beyond that, nothing happens in the fucking show. It's just so goddamn boring. And I watched every second of it because I have no respect for myself or my time.
I just think that I came to the realization a while ago that I'm only interested in, like, the Skywalker, like, family. And maybe not even. I don't have any... I would love to rewatch the original Star Wars again.
Yeah.
In my life, I don't think I need to watch anything else again.
Do you? How do you feel about Rey Skywalker, maybe?
She was good. So until...
Until
Rise of Skywalker, which is the worst piece of shit.
So she's getting a new movie, which I think I'm happy about because I like Rey, and The Force Awakens is still a fucking roller coaster of a movie.
Force Awakens is very good.
And The Last Jedi
is amazing.
Great. And I think she deserves a real ending. So I'm happy to have her and revisit her a little later, and she's a little older. And
that would be fun. Yeah. Is it going to be a movie?
It's a motion picture.
I think I can't handle science fiction series. I just don't think I care enough.
Interesting.
Give me a movie any day. I'm there.
You think it's the genre that keeps you from it?
I think so, because many times in my life I've tried to get into sci-fi shows of some sort, and I never liked them.
I
didn't like Star Trek. I don't like any of the Star Wars shows. It's something about the week-to-week. It's like I just can't. Anything that's fantasy and sci-fi, yeah. I'm just very checked out.
So and even like Sword and Sandals fantasy, you couldn't get into?
Couldn't if I tried.
You ever do Game of Thrones?
God, no. Okay. Couldn't if I tried. Not for me. but a movie, I can. It's 2 hours.
Well, I'll say, similar to what you're saying, I love sci-fi and fantasy, but a lot of these Star Wars shows started as movies, and then they made them shows because The Mandalorian was successful, and they should have stayed movies. Boba Fett should have stayed a movie because it was a boring-ass show.
Not everything needs to be a series.
Obi-Wan, they stretch the... It's like, you could feel, this is a movie that's stretched to its very limits. Like,
yeah, doesn't
This
have
does
to
not
be.
Need to be a six episode. This should have just been a nice, solid movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think that's just a trend now in general. It's just TV is where it's at.
Yeah.
Movies are not. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah.
Most things, even like you know, when a novel is a bestseller and they want to adapt it, it becomes, very rarely does it become a movie. Now it becomes a TV
show.
Series.
Yeah. And, I there's so much Star Wars that I no longer could be a completist. Like, there's tons of books. And I've read some of the books, but I certainly don't read them all. There's comics. Again, I've read some of them. Games, I've played some of them. Mm-hmm. Cartoon shows, I've not watched all the animated stuff. I liked Rebels. I liked a little bit of Clone Wars. I didn't watch any of the Bad Batch. But I guess I've told myself if it's live action, I'll watch it.
Okay.
So I'm watching any movie that's called Star Wars, and I'm watching any live action show that's called Star Wars. And by gum, it could still surprise me. I didn't think Andor was going to be... I was like, Andor, the character, the second banana in Rogue One? Who cares about that? And then it's like insane prison break story.
Because Rogue One is kind of not...
Well, what's funny is the writers of Rogue One wrote Andor, and they've been very open about like not caring that much about Star Wars and like having much of affinity for like making references to things. Yeah, they just like the world of it. And it's just so weird to see the other side of fantasy, to like have like a room where it's like a political party and everybody's rich and they're just talking. Like,
see, that sounds
and everyone's mentioning Palpatine, but you never see him because he's it's just like weird. It adds this like verisimilitude to this world that you didn't know could fit and would actually make it so much richer.
Isn't that what George Lucas was sort of going for in the prequels?
I think so. I think like, so.
They get the
politics
get
stuff
into politics.
Yeah, for sure.
Like intergalactic congress and things like that.
Right. But then there's also like Jar Jar. I think he had a bunch of
things. Then there's Jar Jar.
There's a bunch of things he was doing with the prequels, and I think they don't all gel together.
Oh, I'm not saying that they're
And whenever good. He was criticized ever, he always fell back on, these are movies for kids, which is just like, that's not true. Kids don't care about embargoes.
Yeah, yeah. I remember as a kid seeing episode one and like, you know, the scrolling like thing at the beginning, the Chiron or whatever it is. Being like, what's what now? I don't understand a word of this. Trade? I'm a child.
We're talking about trade now? So let's go to the trailer corner.
Let's head over there.
So.
Boy, did you pick a batch for me.
I did pick a batch. So let's start with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Okay.
So it begins with Cruel Summer by Bananarama. And it's people hanging out, and it's all warm, and then ice starts coming, and then we see the firehouse, and blah, blah, blah.
A little bit of a nod to Jaws.
A little bit of a nod to Jaws. A little bit of...
Because you see all the people, like, running to the shore from the water.
Yes, yes. So, as a Ghostbusters diehard, of course, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. And the creators of the movie, and people in the movie, said that it's inspired by the real Ghostbusters cartoon. In that it's like, it's just an adventure.
Interesting.
But from the tone of the trailer, it seems to be going with what the last movie, Afterlife, did, which is this is an adventure story, not a comedy.
Yeah.
There's
Although there's some funny stuff.
There's some funny stuff in Afterlife.
Yeah, and there's some funny stuff in the trailer for this, too. But it's not...
A little bit.
It's not a...
It's not a comedy.
These are not comedies.
They're not comedies.
Really, arguably, only Ghostbusters, the original, is the only one that's like a comedy. Right?
No.
I mean, 2 is kind of kiddie.
Oh, sure, but it's still a kiddie comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These new ones, Afterlife is like, we are an adventure movie. Like.
I was shocked to see Bill Murray in this trailer. I thought he was done.
I was shocked, too. But I feel like he might die.
He looks 1 million years old. He's a ghost that they need to bust.
I think he might be a ghost that they need to bust.
I mean, they already did that with Hal's Remus.
Yeah.
So they're back. We're back in New York.
Back in New York. And now it seems as though the Ghostbusters are Paul Rudd, the mother, and the two kids. Although you do see Podcast and Lucky somewhere in there.
Yeah. I was
but how do they all...
Trying to make heads of tails of like heads or tails of like who is a Ghostbuster and who isn't.
Yeah, I don't know who is and isn't anymore. It was cool. I mean, at the end, you see the four of them in the family.
Yeah, when they're
wearing like the red jumpsuits.
Kind of like that was cute. It's kind of like Ghostbusters meets Incredibles.
Yes, yes. And the monster looks cool. I like that it's not Gozer again. Or
it feels
like that
new.
Yeah, it's just a monster.
And so here's where I'm confused.
Yeah, sure.
What's a monster? What are we doing? Is this a ghost?
It's like a demon thing.
Okay. Because I
Ghostbusters have always been very weird on what
it's
exactly
loose,
a ghost,
what a ghost
means.
Because, yeah. Okay. No Slimer, huh?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm surprised that they haven't.
I bet there'll be a Slimer in this. They didn't have him in the last one. I think you could throw him in this. Why not?
I like seeing the firehouse.
Yes, cool. Yes. And I do like, it seems like Dan Aykroyd's character is like more of like an advisor.
Mm-hmm.
He's more like the Giles from Buffy's.
As few scenes as possible. I love the actress who plays the mom.
Yeah, she's good.
She's
on
the Gilded Age. I really
like her.
Yeah,
she's good.
And she was the twin sister in Gone Girl.
I never saw Gone Girl.
You never
not.
Saw Gone Girl? Gone Girl is a great movie. It's a thriller like they don't make anymore.
I think I learned the twists and then didn't. And I was like, well, you ruined
it. It's still worth watching, truly.
Okay. I'll watch it, folks.
It's good.
Don't twist my arm.
Look. I think it looks good. I'll see it.
Yeah. I'll if I could step out of my body, I'd go, who the fuck needs this shit?
Well, that's like, what I said. Listen,
but
in fairness.
Being me, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to see it because I like Ghostbusters.
I liked
it as a kid. I'm going to like it
it's
now.
It's okay to like the things you like.
Yeah, but do I, as an actual person who knows things, feel like this is good or a good idea? Not really.
In fairness, I felt that way. I was rolling my eyes really hard at Afterlife, and then I saw it, and I really liked it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's. I'm sure, you know, this will be hopefully good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be good. I don't know. I am no longer a kid. I feel like this is if I were a kid. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. Maybe because we're living in the age of like so much nostalgia everywhere.
Yeah.
Still. That like so much that comes out. I'm like, if I were a kid, I'd be fucking psyched.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
And then probably not see it again.
Well, that's so funny because you think like if I went back to like the 90s when the studios had no guts of doing things like this. Like if I visited myself when I was like 14 and said, guess what? There's like 7 Star Wars movies coming out.
There's going to be 6 Screams.
And 3 more Ghostbusters movies and 5 more Screams and Freddy and Jason are going to meet and fight each other and fucking just everything.
And there's going to be an Ash versus Evil Dead show that goes for 3 seasons.
Right. Like, like you would not believe everything that your little nerdy fucking heart dreams about is actually going to happen. And only like 50% of it you're going to give a shit about.
Yeah,
You're going to be a real meh on a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's like 2 more Indiana Jones coming.
Did you see that last Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
Was it? It was bad.
Yeah, it was. It was a real snooze.
Yeah,
it was a snooze.
Indiana Jones is a fucking interesting series because I feel like truly every other one is bad, and every other one is good.
Why?
It's like the odd number ones are good and the even number ones are bad or something.
Well, I don't know. I feel like my Indiana Jones.
I like the sillier ones myself.
Yeah, me too. So like my Indiana Jones feelings seem to be counter to some diehard fans. Because I don't think love Raiders the original. Is yeah, I agree. I don't think the original is great.
The second one's fun.
Yeah, I like the weirder ones. I like the second one. I liked the one with Shia LaBeouf. It's weird and crazy.
Yeah, I liked 2 and 4.
And 3's really good. Where you've got like fucking like ancient knights and shit. Like, I like when it gets banana.
So what was wrong with this one? It didn't get bananas?
It was just dour.
Is Mutt dead?
Yes, he is. He died in Vietnam.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
So did that cause a rift between Indy and Karen?
Yes. And it made him like...
So it's Luke. So it's Leia and Han.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
And he's just so... He's such a sad old man in it. It just... It depresses you watching.
Do they get back together at the end?
Yes.
All right. Well, that makes me happy.
Yes. It was a real...
Karen. I called her Karen. Her name is Marion.
Yeah.
But Karen is her name in real life, right?
I believe so. No, what's her name?
Karen Allen.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you're right. Karen Allen.
Indiana and Karen.
Yeah, it was a real...
I remember... Wait, sidebar. This is really funny. When was I don't know when it closed. It can't still be open. But remember they had that Indiana Jones stunt show in Disney World?
I believe it is still open.
Oh, my God. So when I went, like, not that recently, like maybe like 2010.
Yeah.
Which is still way, like, late.
Yeah.
Way, way after the original Indiana Jones. This, like, 21-year-old girl comes out and she's like, "Hi, my name's Amanda, and I'm Karen Allen's stunt double from Indiana Jones."
Yeah, right.
And I was like, we need to update this script.
Yeah.
Karen Allen is 80.
I'm Googling stunt show to see if it's still going.
They do. They're slow to change things at the parks. Did I tell you that when I went to Disney, like, 2 years after COVID, they were still doing the COVID choreography at the Beauty of the Beast
show? It runs multiple times a day, Anthony.
Jesus.
It is still going in the Hollywood studios.
They have to have updated that script. They can't still
pretend
that they're the stunt doubles from the original movie.
I'm going to say that they do. Why not?
Wait, so did you hear what I said about Beauty and the Beast?
No, what about it?
Like 2 years after COVID, I went. Show was still doing COVID choreography where they didn't touch.
Interesting.
And it was just bizarre because COVID was like way over.
Get back to it.
Yeah, and like
not but
like
the protocols are no longer necessary.
We're way over.
Yes,
and like they were dancing, like not touching each other. They never kissed. They never hugged. They never embraced.
That's super weird.
Yeah, it was super weird.
Do the characters walk around still, or are they just wave to you from afar like they were doing during COVID?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they still wave from afar. Yeah. I don't know. Some places in general, I think, are just like, we're just going to keep going with these COVID rules because we like not having to be around people.
I mean, I understand.
Oh, and like COVID hours, that's a thing. Like,
yeah,
COVID out, like earlier out closing hours, like a lot of businesses just never went back.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But anyway,
let's talk about the trailer for the Garfield movie.
I would love to.
Okay. Bring some positive. This episode's been a little too negative. Bring some positivity.
Fucking love Garfield. I don't know what to tell you. I love Garfield.
I bought the house that Jim Davis lived in.
Yeah. I don't know what to say to anyone, all right? I think it looks adorable.
The whole beginning...
Chris Pratt is horrible.
Yeah,
but
of course.
It looks fun.
What I'd say. Well, no, that's the thing. He's not. I'm indifferent to him. His talent.
I don't think he's a good voice actor.
He's mid, as the kids say. He's just right there in the middle of talent.
I think I love Garfield. I think I does. I'm probably not, but it does feel like we did this 5 minutes ago.
Right, but when did we really do it?
Probably 20 years ago at this point.
Yeah, the Bill Murray live action ones.
Yeah, there were two of them.
Yeah.
Tale of Two Kitties.
Garfield the movie, almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
2004.
Yeah, it's crazy. It feels like yesterday. It's not.
That's because you're old.
I'm happy to see Garfield back.
Actually, by the time it comes out next year, it will be 20 years.
Yeah. I'm happy that Garfield's back. I liked the nod to the Garfield balloon.
In the parade. Yeah, and I like it's kind of...
In the original movies, they did the nod to the Garfield sucky suction cups.
Yeah, that famous toy.
Yeah.
I like the flat look of it. It looks like
the strip.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the criminally underrated Peanuts movie that came out some time ago.
You like that?
Yeah, yeah. It was cute, and I really loved the way it looked.
I gotta tell you, I thought that was awful.
You did?
Yeah, I went to see it.
Yeah,
in theaters.
Me too.
And like midway through, was like, "Do you want to go?"
You left. You walked out.
I don't know. We might have stayed, but I wanted to leave.
I thought it was
so boring.
I didn't think it was a great... But Peanuts is boring.
Yeah, I guess.
It's in the spirit of Peanuts to be boring.
Were you totally of sound mind sober?
Yes, I was. This was well into my sobriety.
Okay.
No, we thought... We were like surprised. We were like, this is pretty cute. And we liked the way it looks.
Maybe I'll watch it again. I didn't like it.
But anyway, you know what I mean? Like, it has that 2D,
yeah.
It's 3D figures, but like a very flattened, yeah. So it looks comic strippy. I think this is actually better than doing it live action, like they did with the Bill Murray movies. Like, it should be a cartoon. And I like that they've changed design enough. Breckenmeyer.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks a little different.
It's certainly like, it's recognizable as Garfield, but... It is different. It's definitely a different model.
A lot of business going on with this Garfield's dad character.
Voiced by Samuel Jackson.
What's happening there?
I guess
is that what the movie's about?
He's going to be a villain, I think?
I don't know. It was...
He seems like a con artist guy.
Is that it was giving me sequel energy.
Interesting.
Like, normally the first one is like kind of an origin, and then in the sequel you get into like the niche storylines.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting
point. I was like, this feels like a part two, but whatever.
Yeah.
No, it looks cute.
Well, the trailer, when I watched it with Jen absolutely loved the majority of the trailer, which is like Garfield as a kitten
yeah.
and meeting John.
And that is canon. I remember... That has been depicted in the strips and in the cartoon.
That he was like an Italian restaurant.
Italian restaurant, yeah.
Adorable. But then when it got to him being grown-up Garfield, Jenna was like, oh, I'm not interested anymore. And I kind of felt with her. Like, the majority of the trailer is cute baby Garfield. But it seems like that's just that scene.
Yeah, probably.
And then it's not going to be that. And
who's voicing Odie?
Odie, I think, doesn't really have a voice.
Did he in
the... He never spoke.
Did he in the first movies?
No. Odie, I bet, is
David
like...
Eigenberg was Nurmal. What a weird choice. Miranda.
Nicholas Holt is John in this.
Who?
Nicholas Holt from I Do Weird Movies. This guy.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Nicholas Holt from I Do Weird Movies. Yeah, I'm trying to see... I don't even see Odie. I bet Odie's just like someone like
Odie didn't talk.
Frank
in the,
Welker.
Odie never talked, but no. I didn't know if they were going to change that.
Well, it there was always a joke that like cats are smarter. Like Odie's just a dumb dog.
Yeah, and he kicks him off the table.
Yeah.
What do you think in the way of like, will there be nods to the End Friends?
I feel like somebody needs to wake up and acknowledge that the End Friends. Farm life, whatever the fuck it was called, fans are out there.
They are.
And we
What were they called? What was the farm?
Oh, it was like American Acres.
Yeah.
So,
what,
is that it?
What in the world was that? They were never on screen with Garfield.
No, they were not. It was literally just a different sketch. It was like, you're going to get some of this, you get some of that.
I remember liking it.
Yeah, I fucking loved it. I think I preferred it to Garfield.
No.
I loved Sheldon.
The cat.
He's
Sheldon was in a shell.
Yeah. And then there's Wade, who's afraid of everything. Come on.
They have to at least have little nods to them, like Easter eggs. If not, if they don't have the balls to just plain have
Start with a whole short of it. U.S. Acres.
Yes.
U.S. Acres. Start with a whole U.S. Acres short and make everyone that's me happy.
Have you ever seen that weird website? It's like Garfield without Garfield talking. And it's just a weird, like, it's just John talking to his cat.
Which is funny because that's what it is, right? Like, Garfield is thinking his dialogue.
You know, as someone who has read
a lot of
Garfield, I was always on the lookout to see if
if
John ever actually was responding to Garfield. And no, I never was able to find
it. It's really well written. You know when Garfield's really good to read? When you're pushing a poop out of your butt. they're great bathroom fodder.
I'm sure there are.
But remember before phones?
You had books?
You had books and magazines and bathrooms?
I had like the 80 of those Garfield books.
Yeah.
And they're probably still in the house.
Yeah.
And they were long, horizontal.
Yeah. Great stuff.
And I remember reading about how like Garfield was like the only series to be printed in that long format because what's his name? Who's the author?
Jim Davis.
Jim Davis was like very didn't want to change around like the panels. Like he wanted the panels to remain intact.
Interesting. That makes sense.
As they were printed in the original newspapers.
I'm about to Google something I shouldn't.
Is he alive? Is he a Republican?
I just Googled Jim Davis politics. He's 78 years old.
Well, we all know we all know how Dilbert voted.
Yeah, we do know.
And I used to be a Dilbert fan as well, which is upsetting. And I was a big Dogbert fan.
Garfield creator Jim Davis reveals why politics is not for the big orange cat. I don't know.
I could see him being...
I could see...
Normal.
What would Garfield think of President Trump? What would a big orange cat who speaks his mind feel about a big orange guy? Davis asked, followed by laughter. That sounds like Garfield would endorse him.
No, I don't like that.
But it does sound like he's smart enough to not talk about it. To not be like... To be like, you know what? I'm here to sell Garfield shit. And... Garfield... Remember the Garfield phone?
I Googled Jim Davis Trump, and Jim Davis is a big Trump donor. And then I clicked, it's a different Jim Davis, thank goodness. the Garfield phone. Yeah, of course. Garfield was, that's the thing about Garfield. It was a comic strip, but also a merch phenomenon.
Right, and that's why Bill Watterson with Calvin and Hobbes almost as a comment on Jim Davis refused to do any Calvin Hobbes products.
But, you know. Calvin did become the little peeing boy.
Right.
Against his wishes.
Right. Which against everyone's wishes. No one needs that.
He got his comeuppance.
No, that's the weirdest. Like, that's one of those weird memes before the internet.
Yeah.
That you're like, why is this a thing?
Yeah. In character for Calvin.
No, it's the actual image is taken from a strip, but he's not peeing in the strip. He's just like got his back to us.
Calvin Hobbes is goddamn adorable.
Yeah, it is.
I really would love to like actually go back and reread Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, yeah. It's wistful.
Yeah, I had a big comic book phase. Not comics. Comic strip.
Yeah. What happened to that? Why aren't you still loving them?
I fell off. I mean, I was a kid. It was just like one of the things that I was really into for a while.
Yeah.
Remember like one Christmas, I got like, I was like sixth grade. I remember like I got all Garfield's and like Calvin and Hobbes stuff from mom.
Nice.
And like I remember in our computer room. Remember when people had houses had computer rooms?
Yeah, yeah.
There was like a Garfield on the computer poster that mom got me, and we put it up.
Yeah, yeah, adorable. Yeah, good times, good times. I think I read all those books that you had too.
Yeah.
They're just wildly consumable, aren't they?
Well, oh yeah, it's like TikTok before TikTok, because just one after the other after the other after the other.
But let me ask you this. Or let me pose this question to you. Why is there almost no way to read or find Adam's Family comic strips?
I don't.
Well, first of all, it's not strips.
They were just single panels.
Yeah, they were like New Yorker cartoons. But still, are the collections of
them? Probably because of the New Yorker.
But you'd think
that the New Yorker would over capitalize the
years,
on that.
Yeah, over the years, especially now it's Big Wednesday, just put out a book. I think
they haven't.
I think they have, but you never see any of it reproduced anywhere.
How long were they actually in circulation?
I have no idea.
Maybe not even that long.
I don't know. I mean,
New Yorker's panels are like infamously not funny. Also,
right.
So maybe they just stink. That could be another thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible.
But, I mean, even still, the New Yorker comics suck.
I don't know if I agree with that.
They're not. Half the times I don't get them. Well, okay. So they must be bad.
Okay then.
No, I mean they're okay. I don't know.
I mean, if some of them are very clever and some of them aren't. I mean, there's good and there's bad. I mean,
I feel like a lot of them are cheesy.
Yeah. But it's like...
you're talking to a New Yorker subscriber. All right.
Calm yourself down.
I'm no dummy. I'm no slouch.
How do you feel about Far Side? Because that's another one I think is funny.
In my heyday, like during that period...
When was that?
I was like middle school. I tried them out. I had a few Far Side books. Didn't love because they're not... It's not a story with characters.
Yeah, it's
each one is just like a different like social commentary.
Right. But aren't there a lot of cows?
Maybe. I don't remember.
All right. Let's look at our last trailer, which is Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Mm-hmm.
I love Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, I love her so much.
What a doll.
I love her so much. What can't she do?
She was great in The Menu.
Oh. Fantastic in The Menu.
Great as Princess Peach.
She can't do something without being great.
She's the new face of Tiffany's.
Sure. She's...
She's redhead. She's blonde. She's brunette. She can do it
she's
all.
She's super talented. She was funny on SNL, which I'm beyond shocked me. I did not expect... I didn't think she was going to have that, and she had it. It was one of It was one of those delightful SNL things where you're like, oh, this host, and then you're like, oh, shit, they're actually funny. Oh, God. A year or two ago, she was in the bra sketch. Bras. When you have like really big boobs, you don't wear a bra, you wear a bra.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's made out of metal. So she is Furiosa, this is like a prequel to the last Mad Max movie.
It's a prequel to a sequel, everyone.
Yeah. It's Mad Max. That was called Mad Max Fury Road, which starred Charlize Theron as Furiosa. Yes. And now this is a younger Furiosa, and it's like her backstory. I was shocked when this trailer came out because they were talking about this movie for a long time, but I was sure that it was dead. I was like, when the trailer came out, I was like, oh shit, this happened?
I don't remember hearing a word about it for a long time.
Have you saw Fury Road?
Yeah, I liked Fury Road.
Fury Road's really good.
Yeah.
And I actually haven't seen any of the other Mad Max movies.
Neither have I.
But there are Mad Max like fans out there that are like, the others are worth watching too. It feels like the studio was like, you need the subtitle to have Mad Max in it. Because I don't think Mad Max has anything to do with this story.
Yeah, like a Mad Max story.
Right. It should be like called a Fury Road story or something. So from the trailer, and this is just me judging the trailer, it may not be what is in the final film. From the trailer, the CGI seems... a step down from the last
film.
Looks
a little cheap. I was thinking that.
It's still... And look, and the thing about Fury Road was it does have these garish, crazy colors. But those colors were sort of laid on top of, composited on top of what felt like real sets or, in a way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm sure they weren't. But I don't know. It's like a few degrees towards fake. Like, yeah. Bad fake. Like, I was like, this doesn't feel as good. It doesn't look as good as the last one. It looks like it's in the same world as the last one, but it's not as good.
Where are they always driving? Where is this Fury Road?
I don't know.
Where are they? Is this America?
Australia. They're in what was once Australia.
Oh, that makes sense, because they have Australian accents.
Yeah.
Although, and do they
Mel Gibson have Australian was Australian? Accents?
Yeah.
Yeah, they mostly all do.
Okay.
I don't think Furiosa does.
But does she in this?
She only says one thing in the trailer. She says, I'm Furiosa.
Oh, yeah.
And she got the badass robot arm.
So is this like the outback?
It's a dystopian world. It's like all desert. There's nothing really growing.
Okay. Yeah.
but people worship cars and oil.
And gasoline is water.
Yeah, yeah. No, gasoline is gasoline.
What's water?
I forget what they call water.
I thought they called water gasoline.
No, they call gasoline gasoline because that's what makes their race cars go.
Huh.
Because it's
wasn't
like,
that one big wasn't a big plot point of the last one that they needed water?
Yes, that it was. But like they, it's, you know, it's a big environmental thing. Like yeah, yeah. like they worship gasoline. Gasoline is hard to find, and like they still want it. They almost like deify it.
Yeah. In the other Mad Maxes, from what I understand, like there's like civilization is still somewhat a thing.
I believe in the very first one, there's like there's more civilization than you have now.
Aqua Cola.
That's what they call it. It's a whole world. It's a whole sitch.
I don't know. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm gonna see it. I'll see anything with Anya in it.
And Anya is a girl that can't miss.
And I did love that last movie. And you know, let's see how
it was a while ago.
I know it was. But let's see how it looks. You know, it's trailers are not usually completed CG. You know, they're still gonna fuck with it. So it might look better in theaters.
Yeah.
So
I hope it's not just a retread of Fury Road.
It seems like it's gonna start with her as a little kid and then move up to Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, just in that Fury Road, the whole thing was, it was just like the entire thing was like a chase or a race.
I think the racing is part of this, but I think Chris Hemsworth's character is the villain. But then Immortan Joe, who's the villain of the last movie, is also in
it. The fellow with the mask.
Yeah.
And the teeth.
Yeah. Well, okay. The teeth on the mask.
Why do they spray their mouths?
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't remember. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll see it. Maybe not in theaters, but I'll definitely see it.
All right. Let's take a break and we'll come back with a show session. I've got a fun story for you. Welcome back to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined by Anthony Bongiorno. Anthony.
Yes.
Welcome to the Chill Sesh.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I got to say, the Chill Sesh is my favorite part of a fully. Yeah. Sometimes I find the news and trailers to be too much work.
Well, you are the curator of the news and trailers.
Yeah. And it's like, you got to have a lot of thoughts and opinions on things.
Who wants to do that?
The Chill Sesh is just, it's just talking.
It's just, the whole thing is talking.
So let me,
if we're being honest,
let me tell you a story.
Okay.
The other day, the Alamo Draft House was playing The Holiday, starring Kate Winslet, Jack Black.
Cameron Diaz.
What a film. I never saw it before. It was delightful.
It's great. It really is great.
So they called the screening a champagne screening, which we were like, what does that mean? And they were like, oh, we just call it that because it goes good with champagne. And we're like, do we get a free glass of champagne? And they're like, no, you don't.
God, no.
But the theater is sort of sparsely attended. There's me and Jen. There's a...
What time of night are we talking here?
We're talking 4 in the afternoon.
That's a great champagne time.
3 in the afternoon. There's a young woman behind us. In the row that we're in, there's a mother and some kids. And then behind them is about 5 women around mid to late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Trouble.
They have a bottle of champagne and they are passing it around.
That's amazing.
They are talking through the entire movie.
God love them.
The woman behind us is like, I can't fucking. Everybody hears them. Like, everybody hears them. So
I'm so tickled by people who just talk through movies. It's just so, I don't know why I find it so funny, because it's so fucking rude.
It's just so like,
it's insane.
And it's also like, you're so like,
I don't
dumb.
Give a
you don't,
fuck about any other person in this
right,
movie.
Right, like I only can see me existing. And what was really funny about this was that they were they were just too old for this. Like, they were acting like 12-year-olds, but they were women of a certain age. And they're also, like, they're reacting to the movie.
It was the cast of 80 for Brady.
Anything happens in the movie, like, anything slightly cute, oh, all of them. All like, oh.
Were like, people, like, I love when people start to be like, shut up. was anybody doing that?
The woman behind us was doing that.
Okay, and I love that, too. Do you remember when we saw 13 going on 30 and that woman was talking loudly on her cell phone?
Yes, yes.
And then it suddenly stops and then you hear her go, why'd you hang up on me? You can't handle the truth.
Well, that and then somebody was like,
shut
apart.
The fuck up.
No, this wasn't happening like that. It was more like, what do we do? Like, the people who were right in front of them, like, they were just glancing at each other. Like, what do we do? Jen, that sick bitch, she loves shit like this. So Jen's laughing.
Oh, I do too. I would have been laughing.
Jen was like, this is great. They're incredible. They're my heroes. Somebody, I think the woman behind us complains.
They're pretty strict about that at Alamo.
Yeah. So a server comes over and says, ladies, you got to bring it down. So now, and you're a teacher, you'll get this. Yeah. Okay. Now what we have is instead of just talking, it's talking followed by shh, shh, no, shh, 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 we can't talk, shh, shh. Stop. We got in trouble. We can't talk. Like,
someone's going to tell on us if we talk. Yeah,
we can't talk. We got in trouble. Right? Shh. Shh. What's going on? Shh. So there's that going on. Then the manager comes over. These women, if these women were not their age, they would have been 86th. The manager comes over.
But they were 86, yeah, so they were allowed to stay.
The manager's like, please, please, you guys are, this is too much. Everybody here is complaining. You can't do this. And like a teacher, the manager stood at the end of the row and just stayed there watching them so they wouldn't keep talking. And then eventually he had to do his job. So after like 10 minutes, he moved and left and it started again.
That's so crazy.
So then the server comes around to everybody that isn't them and gives them free tickets.
Wow.
And goes, we are so sorry about this. Have a free ticket.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's nice, but I also love the passive then, like, aggressiveness.
Gave them the finger yeah, as he was giving out free tickets.
They don't get it. Everyone else gets it. And they see him going up to everybody apologizing
So were they drunk?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Because it's getting worse. Worse and more insane as it goes on. And in the beginning, it was about the film. And then by the end, it's just like they're just hanging out. The film is not a part of what's going on. So then, towards the end, they are finally quiet because the manager comes back again. And he's like, I will ask you to leave if you don't stop. So they actually, I think, are scared. So they're quiet. But then, and I was waiting for this, you hear the sound of the champagne bottle break. And I'm proud of myself. But it was natural reaction. I laugh so loud, and then everyone else laughs with me because we're all laughing at these goons. they're quiet as we're all laughing at them, and it's incredible.
God love.
Surprise ending just for you. The woman behind us, Jackie Alves.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you not know that until the end?
No, we did not know that until the end. Someone me and Anthony went to high school with. As we're walking out, we see her. I'm like, oh my God, it's Jackie. And then I realized she was the woman behind us. And she's like, were you just in that fucking movie? Could you fucking believe that? I can't. It was hilarious. I did, by the way, enjoy the movie. But the experience of these old broads just.
Were they talking so loud that like, you couldn't hear the movie?
Well, it's not an action movie, you know. It's a dialogue movie. So yeah, you could hear the movie, but you also can always hear them, always. And there's like they're not all they're like having side conversations. There's like five of them. It's like as I walked out, I saw the manager and he apologized to everyone who walked out. And I said, I guess you're not going to do the champagne thing again. And he was like, yeah, I don't think it's going to work. You know, part of me is like these women probably don't get out all the time. They probably are so happy to see each other. Yeah. They saw a movie and it was like champagne movie. Like, we'll go. It'll be fun. So you kind of feel for them.
Well, because there's also the movie parties where you can talk.
Right, which was not this.
Yeah, yeah.
Not this at all. And even in the movie parties, you're supposed to talk at the screen and shit. You're not supposed to do side combos.
Yeah.
If they were younger, they would have been kicked out.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be, according to the Alamo rules, you're supposed to be kicked out after the first warning. You get one warning and then you're kicked out. And they got like multiple warnings.
That's crazy.
At one point, they're like, where's our food? Like, they're yelling at the fucking manager. It was... It's wild. I don't know if you've ever been in the situation where you had to be a stern authority figure to someone much older than you. but it's weird. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you want to be like, and not to be ageist, but you want to be like, why are you doing this? Like, how can you do this? Don't you see that this is not a thing for you to do?
Like, it's not becoming of a woman your age.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, don't make, why do I have to be in this situation?
Oh, that's crazy.
So that is The Holiday, so directed by Nancy Myers.
Is that your just a story, or is that what you are you chilling with?
I mean, I'm chilling with a lot of stuff, but that was my story. What are you chilling with?
Mostly celebrity audiobooks.
Tell me about it.
We didn't talk about this before, did we?
Britney?
Yeah.
No, not on the show.
Okay. The Britney Spears audiobook.
Yes.
I've listened to it twice.
Wow.
From beginning to end.
Wow.
I can't explain what it... I find it very comforting.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because it's not... Like, the subject matter is pretty serious.
Yeah.
For the most part. Michelle Williams does such an amazing job.
She really captures the zeitgeist.
She does. So it's read by Michelle Williams. I read a really interesting review of it. I think it was in the New York Times, I believe, where basically it said, like, New York Times... that, like, Michelle Williams was such a perfect... choice because she and Britney have like parallel lives. Like they both premiered in 1998.
Oh,
they're
wow.
both like the same age. They're like from like the same, like they had a lot of friends in common.
Interesting. Wow.
And one went this way and one went that way.
Right.
And so it's like, it basically was making the case that it's like a woman, women helping other women
thing.
It's like Michelle Williams is like an Oscar nominated actress being like, I'm not too good to tell your story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to do that. And I'm going to treat it with reverence.
Maybe they'll make a Britney movie and she'll play her.
That would be great. She doesn't, at no point do you feel like she's being condescending.
Yeah.
At no point do you feel like she's not doing an impression. She's not doing an accent.
Right.
She's channeling her without sounding like her.
What an inspired choice.
She doesn't do a southern thing ever, but she emotes how she should emote depending on what she's reading.
What are the big revelations?
That's the thing. There are no real big revelations.
Okay, because setting you up because I thought I knew one.
The abortion.
Yeah, and that Justin Timberlake's kind of a dick, or was kind of a dick.
Yeah, but I feel like we all
knew that.
Yeah, okay. I feel like we all know that. The way she describes... the abortion. It was a medical abortion.
Uh-huh.
She describes it in pretty explicit detail. She says it was like the most painful experience of her life. She spent like all night on the floor in pain. And basically it was like...
And he like...
basically
he like kenned her, right? He like was
like... She's like, I wanted to have his baby. I thought we were going to be a family. And he was like, no, baby, we can't do that. Like, you need to get rid of it. And she said like, someone on her team just produced a pill for her to take. And I hate that makes it sound like abortion's horrible, because I do think like abortion is healthcare.
It is.
But
it is but it a
shouldn't
procedure.
It shouldn't be forced.
No, it shouldn't be forced.
You know, I'm against forced abortion, obviously.
Yeah.
And it sounds like she did not want to have the abortion.
It's still the same problem. It's still a man deciding what a woman does with her body, and that's what's not cool about it.
For sure. It's interesting. I do think that there's this thing of like, I think Janine and I were talking about this, like, celebrities being kind of stunted emotionally and intellectually at the age in which they became famous.
I think that's because very possible.
She does sound very... I have respect for her. I think she should have autonomy. I think she should have control over her own body. At the same time, I do think there are some mental illness issues there, for sure. Uh-huh. She talks about that. She talks about how mental illness runs in her family. Her grandmother committed suicide, all that kind of stuff. But she does kind of sound juvenile. Like... the way she talks about Justin is like, I loved him. I thought we were going to be together forever.
Uh-huh.
I didn't understand why somebody who loved me this much would hurt me.
Yeah.
And it's like, part of that, I think, is what's so captivating, is that she still kind of talks like the Britney of yore. Like, she's still kind of that. She's still kind of that innocent girl, even though she's a woman.
Do you feel like
there's blood on our hands.
Yeah, that she was unfairly maligned at some point.
For sure. And I do think for me, like, it's not revelatory, but her family is awful.
Okay.
I mean, her parents are awful. She basically, if you believe her, which I do, she was institutionalized and essentially robbed by her family.
Wow.
And her sister, what a snake. What that Jamie Lynn.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd she do?
She's just awful to her. Like, she says throughout the book that, like, many times she tried to, like, have her sister, like, say, help her or save her. And the sister would be like, Brittany, I feel like you're just, like, being dramatic.
Mm.
Like, it's not that bad. Like, mom and dad love you. Stop. And,
Isn't a great autobiography so vindicating?
It's like she got the last.
It's
laugh.
Like Mommy Dearest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like sometimes a great autobiography could be like the vindication that the world needs.
For sure, she's very much a woman. She's still struggling. I think
she's still kind of young. She's been in our world for so long.
She's in her 40s.
Yeah,
she's lived through a trauma. I think she's still like she's still working through that. And part of the reason why Michelle Williams reads the book is because Brittany said she doesn't like writing it, I guess with a ghostwriter, but writing it was like traumatic enough. She doesn't want to have to read it.
Right. Yeah. You don't want her to
so
read it.
So she, right. So she reads the first, she reads the foreword
right.
and then Michelle picks up from chapter one and reads it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But she says, so, but in the foreword, like I don't want to read this.
You listened to it twice.
I did.
What made you go back?
I don't know. So I find like podcasts that I've listened to before,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of these things I find very comforting, like just as background noise.
Yeah.
Like I listened to like back in the day, I listened to like Bossy Pants by Tina Fey like 40 times.
Okay.
I don't know. I find it comforting and interesting. And I think you never... Like when you listen to an audiobook, I never read the book. I've only listened to the audiobook. So when you listen to it once, there's going to be things you miss because it's just a different type of processing.
Right.
You like auditory processing. Yeah. So then listening to it again, I just feel like I picked up on details that I didn't before. And I don't know. I really liked it.
Are there celebrity biographies?
So I am trying to get through this Barbara Streisand one.
Oh, yeah. That's another big one.
Big. Literally. Do you know how long that book is?
No.
It is 998 pages.
Get the fuck out of here.
The audiobook, which is read by Barbara,
you bet is
over 48 hours long.
It's oh my
two
God.
Straight days of Barbara. So I've been listening to it on and off for weeks. I'm in chapter two. She's not even famous yet.
Oh my God.
So.
Do you like it?
I like it. I like it a lot. First of all, I love her voice.
Yeah.
Her voice is soothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Her stories are interesting, although... God, exhaustive. Like, fucking, really? What a book. And learning a little bit of, like, stuff I didn't know. I didn't know until listening to this book that she never really wanted to be a singer. Like, she always wanted to be an actress. And then singing is something that came, like, later.
Yeah, interesting.
And she's not a trained singer. She's a trained actress.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I've heard her say that she sings in character.
She does.
Like she plays it.
Yeah, which is why like a lot of her music is like even her other hits, they're like from Broadway shows and stuff. Like she always sings in character.
Interesting.
And she sings a lot like through her nose.
Sure, yeah.
And like she can hold a note and she has a really unique voice.
Yeah.
But that's not actually like how you're supposed to sing.
Right. But hasn't she said like she would never change her nose
because even though she is very, what's interesting is so much of her comes through her characters. Like I felt unsurprised by a lot of what she was saying, which was like, I was always awkward looking. I was always self-conscious about my big nose and things that come through in every role. I feel like she's like the ugly duckling girl.
Yeah.
But that's all her. Like that's all real. and like her mother was kind of cold. Her mother was always like ragging on her for her looks, which I feel like I feel like the Mirror Has Two Faces with Lauren Bacall playing her mother. That's kind of like
based I've never on seen her. That film.
You've never seen The Mirror Has Two Faces?
No.
Oh boy. You gotta watch
Didn't
that.
Did she direct that film?
Yes.
She directed a couple of movies, right?
It's a great movie. It's a remake of an old movie.
Interesting.
But anyway, I'm really liking it. I don't know if I'll finish it. It is so long.
Wow. Wow, that's like Lord of the Rings long.
But I like, I like listening to people talk, which is why I love podcasts. But audiobooks are a little bit different because they're long form.
Yes.
So, you know, it's or you know, or like a podcast that has multiple episodes.
And they're more like one-sided. Whereas when a podcast is people talking to each other, you can sort yourself into it. Like for you feel like you're talking to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting. So that's what I'm chilling with. Yeah, I'm not good with that. I have listened to audiobooks, but they're not my thing at all. I zone out. Even
I can't listen to novels on audio. It needs to be like a nonfiction of some kind.
Yeah, even podcasts that are storytelling podcasts, like My Favorite Murder, like once they would get into doing the murder, I would zone out.
Yeah, it's interesting.
My brain just can't like.
You know what else I experienced? I tried to listen to what's her name, the one who writes on and Just Like That, Samantha Irby. I tried to listen to her audiobook, and I didn't like it, and it's because I didn't like her reading it. Like I felt like. My reading of it in my head was drier and funnier than her reading of it, even though it's her work.
Interesting.
I felt like her delivery, like she's not like a comedian. Interesting. So like her delivery of reading her own work, I didn't find funny. It wasn't as funny as me reading it.
That's fascinating.
And to a certain extent, David Sedaris is a little bit like that. Like sometimes,
I agree.
Sometimes his readings aren't as good as when you read
them
yourself.
I totally agree with that, actually. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. What else? I've also been chilling with clips from Nanalan.
Who? What?
Nanalan.
Nanalan?
Nanalan. No D.
Okay.
It's a Canadian puppet show from many years ago, I think early 2000s. It's came out of nowhere because a meme, there was a meme of, who's that wonderful girl? Could she be any cuter? Have you seen that?
No.
Okay. Do you do TikTok?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our algorithms, I'm sure, are very different.
Yeah. So that started, that became like, that sound got used over and over and over again. And then people started using other ones. And then the creators of the show were like jumped on it. And now like they're making their own videos and they're like doing interviews. And
so it's a children's puppet show?
Yes. About a little cute 3-year-old girl. And she goes and stays with Nana. And Nana plays the piano and plays songs for her.
Oh, that's cute. So you just, is this comfort watching?
Yes.
Because I can't imagine you're riveted by this.
Maybe I'm in a puppet era because also I've been watching hacker videos. Yes.
Oh, she looks like an alien.
Yeah, very cute though. Hacker is a BBC personality. He hosts children's BBC shows.
Okay.
But the best stuff is look up hacker bloopers, and it's times where... in character, staying in character as Hacker's a dog. Staying in character as the dog, he like fucks around.
Okay.
And that's the funniest shit. Hacker bloopers. Like, they were doing some segment where like kids send in pictures and there was like a pretty shitty picture. And he's like laughing at it. And he's like, anyway, send in more pictures. Good ones too. We'd love that. And then the co-host starts like laughing hysterical. Hacker.
Okay, that's interesting.
I'm in my puppet era. I'm also enjoying that because of Taylor Swift, now young people call things eras.
Yeah, I do like that a lot.
I like that. I like being like, I'm in my this era. Because I think we are like that.
We were just...
We do be like that.
It do be like that sometimes.
Yeah.
I sent to you that Lil Nas... X.
Yes.
Because he said, like, he's caused an uproar because he said, do you mind if I get into my Christian era? And it's like a video of him singing a song that sounds Christian.
Yeah.
Wearing a wig and a dress.
Yeah.
And like then dancing.
Right.
And like, he's such a good troll.
Yeah.
Like, he might be trolling. He might not.
He might be sincere. Who knows?
Who knows? But then some people got, like Tyrese, got very angry about it.
Tyrese.
And then he responded by saying, y'all are jealous because I'm fun and cute and petite. just I love Lil Nas X.
Yeah. So fucking good. That's the greatest response to anything. You're just mad because I'm petite. I want to say that to a cop who pulls me over to give me a ticket.
You're just mad because I'm fun. I love it. It's like fun, comma, cute, comma, and petite.
And petite. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back with obsessions.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mark Mangiorno. I'm joined by Anthony Mangiorno. This is Obsessions. Anthony, what are you currently obsessed with?
My current obsession, it's more of a fascination.
Okay.
George Santos and his cameos.
And his cameos. Okay.
Okay. So for those who aren't following U.S. politics, mm-hmm. George Santos was expelled from Congress mm-hmm. in a bipartisan vote. Almost immediately, he went on to Cameo.
Yeah.
Because he is just desperate for attention and fame. Okay. This is why I say it's just like I'm fascinated by him. And I feel like there is a George Santos book / movie / something coming soon that's going to be sure. about this entire phenomenon.
Yeah.
And he's going to end up with a reality show. I can almost guarantee it. Almost immediately, he went on Cameo. He started selling cameos because he's in the hole for a lot of money.
Right.
He's a grifter and like he's being sued. He started selling cameos for $75. He quickly realized that that was too low because he was like inundated with requests.
Oh, wow.
He raised it to 150, raised it to 200. Now they're over 400 and raising and growing.
And people are still doing it.
Because people are still doing it. People are doing it like to be kind of ironic.
Interesting.
But then others actually like him.
What will he say? Like, what will he do on them?
The thing with George Santos is that he is an extremely conservative, transphobic, Trump-loving, flamboyant gay man who wears makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. It's an interesting mixture of worlds. And his cameos are insane because he's got kind of like a crazy, he's got like a kind of crazy voice.
Uh-huh.
And he's got like, I mean, he's but got like a likability.
Sometimes you could say hi to my friend or
yeah.
Or so sometimes they have their own shtick.
So, okay, so like
what, like Ernie Hudson dresses like a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, you're gonna get that. They're all over TikTok.
Yeah,
and it's like crazy stuff. Like today there was one where he was like, "Hey girl, congratulations on coming out to your family as a furry." And then he's like, "I'm so happy that you can be true to yourself and your fursona. And I hear that you're a beaver puss, and that's great." Like stupid stuff where it's like, is that even real? Did somebody send that to somebody else as a joke?
Will he do things like, that are making fun of himself?
I don't know how in on the joke he is. Okay. That's what's fascinating to me about it. And what's...
I find Cameo in general fascinating.
What's ultra fascinating to me also is I feel like there are a lot of liberal people who like... They're wildly entertained by him in spite of themselves.
Uh-huh.
So like they just think he's funny.
Yeah.
And like kind of charming, even though he's a crazy conservative grifter.
Yeah.
So what's crazy though, and what's to me really fascinating is like he's making a ton of money now off of this and is getting a lot of fame.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody now the discourse is like some people are writing think pieces and tweeting like, "Hey, like, are we all doing something wrong? Like, should we not be giving him all this money and attention?"
Right.
Which is like a moral question of like, "Hey, like, you may be doing this ironically, but like, you're now giving him money."
Somebody who's just expelled
from Congress, who like you probably morally like disagree with on most issues. It's just to me wildly. He is just a wildly fascinating character.
Yeah.
And there's just this trajectory. Is so interesting.
What's next? OnlyFans?
I think so. That's what's so funny is like one of the things he was accused of spending money, campaign funds on, was OnlyFans, and he went on TV and was like, "I didn't even know what OnlyFans was until a colleague told me what it was a week ago."
Yeah.
And that was when the woman on Fox News was like, "Oh, you just can't tell the truth." All right, George, thank you so much. like on air was like, "You are just such a liar." He's a pathological liar.
Okay.
What's next for him? I feel like it's a reality show.
Who's going to give it to him, though?
Not Bravo. I think it'll be TLC.
It's above Bravo.
It's
below Bravo.
It's beneath Bravo.
Bravo's above him.
I think it'll
him.
Be... Yeah, Andy Cohen wouldn't do that. I think it'll be TLC or TLC. Something. Jeez. Or one of the streamings. But I don't... Here's the thing. He was expelled from
Dancing
Congress.
Dancing with the Stars?
Maybe. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think this is... He's got staying power. And I think this is like a sign. This is either going to be his last gasp...
Right.
And he's going to disappear after this once people get tired of the joke, or he's going to parlay this into becoming a personality and be like either a talking head
but
on
I think
Fox
if you don't have any,
or a reality show person.
Despite what people say when they critique celebrity culture, I do think that if you don't have, I'm not even going to say talent, if you don't have a thing, you can't stick around. You
but
need a thing.
His thing is that I think his thing is that he's got like this kind of flamboyant, foppish persona, but he's very conservative. He's weirdly conservative.
Okay.
Like, that's his thing. Like, he can, he like speaks the gay lingo, but like is out here like being, like holding up signs outside his office saying like, science proves there are only two genders. Like, it's very, while wearing a full face of makeup, it's so strange.
Right, right. Fascinating. You know what I find fascinating? And this is a pivot from what you were just talking about, but you reminded me of it. Have you seen what Paris Hilton is doing now?
Yeah, so she just surprised the world, including her own mother, with having a baby.
Well, now I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about she now speaks with a deeper voice and basically says everything before
that was all a character. Yeah.
It was all a character.
Yeah, that's for a little while now. That's, she wrote a book,
I think. It's fascinating, though, because
I believe her. I don't think that it was real.
I believe her, too.
Yeah.
But she's leaning into it so hard, it makes me feel like the character must have come from some place in her, but it's almost as if she's like, you know, my name is Barbara Smith, and in fact, I'm not anything like that.
You Paris Hilton, she's still incredibly privileged. And
yeah. Right, like, she obviously, when she had a reality show, they had to, like, play it up, and she had to play up a lot of it.
But her thing is, like, I'm not dumb.
Her thing is, like, that was all a big show.
It was a charade.
Which is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
She looks great.
Well, yeah, she does. She was great in Cat in the Hat. Okay. All right, so my obsession is I got the Criterion Channel.
Oh, boy.
It's like $15 a month. And I've got to say, you know, over the years, you know, with Netflix, I've binge-watched shows, and I've certainly got my value out of Netflix. But no streaming service. I've never gotten this much value out of a streaming service so quickly. Since I've gotten it, I've watched a movie a day. And it's just incredible.
Do they have this Criterion special features?
Yes, it does. It does things that other streaming stuff don't do, like gives audio commentaries.
That's great. Well, because Criterion's whole thing is like they really appreciate the art of cinema.
I believe they created the audio commentary. Yeah, and they do like packages. Like every month would be like, there'll be themes, which are these new folders with like a bunch of movies.
Oh, that's cool.
Like this month, they've got, and there's multiple themes. This month, there's Christmas with Hitchcock. It's a bunch of Hitchcock movies. There's also celebrating Parker Posey.
Criterion is always celebrating Parker Posey.
Josie and the Pussycats is on the Criterion
channel. You Got
Mail? No, not You Got Mail. A lot of her early indie stuff.
Okay.
I'm watching Parker Posey like crazy. It's like the 90s all over again. I'm in love.
She was in Scream 3.
You bet she was. She was so in Scream 3. What else? Like noir, like there's just so much stuff, and then like they'll do interviews, right? And like they have like interview shows. But then they'll be like, you click on it, and like here's all the movies that the director just mentioned, like all the classic movies. Mm-hmm. I've watched so many. I've watched like a movie a day.
Do you remember what your first Criterion Collection DVD was? Because I remember mine.
Criterion Collection DVD. Shit, I don't know. What was yours?
Mine was Chasing Amy.
Wow, that's one that I'm sure they're embarrassed about.
Yep.
Mine might have been Rashomon, the Kira Kurosawa movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe Royal Tenenbaums. Hmm. What's interesting is they have movies that are like interesting or important, but they're not all actual like Criterion Collection movies. Like there sadly isn't a Josie and the Pussycats Criterion.
There should be.
There absolutely should be. But yeah, like I've watched, you know, all sorts of shit. I watched John Waters, Multiple Maniacs. I watched what's that movie with Jenna Rollins, and she's like taking care of a kid.
Oh, Gloria.
Gloria. I watched the original.
Did you ever
Gloria.
See the newer Gloria?
No, the one with Sharon Stone.
Yeah, I've only seen that one.
Okay.
No, I've seen both. But I saw like that one was on cable a lot.
Yeah, I've watched a bunch of Hitchcock's silent movies, which is. I actually hadn't seen a lot of Hitchcock, so I'm like doing a lot. I'm just loving it. I'm just absolutely loving it. It's so good. I can't wait to go home now and watch the Criterion
That's
Channel.
That's great.
I'm in my movie era, which I know is a crazy. Thing to say because if you know anything about me,
you've seen a few.
I've seen a couple of movies and do a podcast mostly about movies. But I've never had the consumption that I do now. Like, in this year, in 2023, I've almost watched a movie every day. But not even like, but not even trying. Not even be like, I'm going to watch a movie every day. That's my resolution. Like, I've just watched a movie every day.
So I have a question for you. Because I was thinking about this when I was watching a movie last night. I rarely watch movies. And when I do, I'm on my phone. Like, are you, do you make a conscious effort to not do that? I think the only time now that I'm watching anything where I'm like not on my phone the whole time is probably when I'm in a movie theater. And I'm not saying that, that's a bad thing. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's not that much a problem with me in general. Like, I will pick up my phone for a second or two, like every 30 minutes, but I'm not all the way on it. The only thing that I, the only time where I'm like, I can't do it at all is when it's a silent movie. Because I have I have picked it or up during a silent movie or a foreign film, and then I'm like, I don't know what just happened in the last 5 minutes. But no, that's not too much of a problem with me. And I think it's because I, like, I'll binge watch shows, but I don't really follow things as they air. And I also, like, I don't watch a lot of TV. You know what I mean? Like, TV, people go like, oh, a movie a day, that's a lot. It's like, well, a lot of people watch TV. Like,
yeah, they watch two if or you three substitute hours of TV,
TV, like, a movie day is not.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Actually, hard to do.
I actually admire that. I think, you know, it's almost like we're such an, like I said before, we're so not, we as a culture are not in our movie era. That it's like, I almost forget movies exist.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'll watch a movie every once in a while and be like, God, why don't I do this more?
And pitches used to be so good.
Yeah, back in the day.
They don't make pitches like this. Like, you know, one of the niches for me as somebody who, like, has a master's degree in film and media studies is, like, the Criterion Channel might as well be, here's the stuff you never got around to, Mike. You want to finally do it? And it's so it's like that. Like, not to blow my own horn, but it's not like I don't know these titles.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, is today the day I watch The Lady Vanishes by Hitchcock? I always was going to.
What's great about movies, especially movies like that, is like, once you watch them, you've seen it.
You bet.
And, like, and it's like, for the rest of your life, I've seen that.
Yeah, and you can be part of a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And you learn more. Like,
it's like reading a classic book, and then you finally, like, oh, okay, I finally, like, read that.
Yeah. And The Lady Vanishes, by the way, is a comedy mystery.
Huh.
The Birds and Psycho horror movies, and that's it. He was good with tension, but he's not a horror movie director.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we think of him as it. It's not. Most of his movies, he does comedies, he does dramas, he does action movies. Like, Northern Body of the Rest is almost like an action movie. He just did. So it's interesting.
Well, it's Alfred Hitchcock Presents and, like, his morose, like, hey, good evening.
Yeah, yeah. He's got this. We have this cultural idea, I think, because Psycho was so influential. But, like, The Lady Vanishes, I was like, because I knew The Lady Vanishes is based on the same folklore that the movie The Vanishing is based on. And The Vanishing is a very depressing, scary, serious movie about a woman who's abducted. And her husband goes insane and, like, loses his mind trying to find her. He'll never give up until he finds her body. So I knew. So I was like, oh, it's going to be like that. And it's not. It's like a fun romp on a train.
I love a train.
It's all on a train.
Love a train movie.
Well, by gum, I think we did it.
We did it.
We did another Foley. This is PCMC. We come out every single Wednesday. If you like what we're doing, subscribe, share with your friends. We're also over on YouTube. Yeah, and you can also follow us at PCMC Pod everywhere you can. Anthony, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We end every episode by saying
go bye-bye.